Good morning and happy Friday. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenhoff coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Join the conversation. We'd love to hear from you. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. Dan Schaefer will be here at 10:33 to recombobulate. I'm fairly certain we're going to talk about an article that was written by Daniel Bice in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel earlier this week, and it involves some hanky-panky.
Some hanking of panking involving
Souls to the Polls, a group that takes voters to the polls during elections. We'll have more details coming up with Dan Schaefer at 10:33. Next hour, 11:33, on Milwaukee.com's Matt Miller will be here, and he's going to do a little recap of the Great Milwaukee Film Festival. That is all coming up. Also next hour, we haven't done this in a while, Greg Bach, the good, the bad, and there's a festival about what?
I
can't believe we missed it.
I feel like
we have to get this on the calendar for next year.
For you.
And a reminder, we have Bucks action tonight. The Bucks at the number 6 Indiana Pacers at 4 p.m. If you want to listen to the game, you can catch it on locally grown radio, WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids. That is 97.5 FM, 1320 AM. And, of course, on LAK Lake Air, 1260 AM in
Amory.
Bucks game tonight. Bucks at the Pacers, 4 p.m. if you want to catch that game. Again, you can catch it on locally grown radio, WFHR, and then WLAK later on this afternoon. We're going to start off, though, talking about early voting.
Mm-hmm.
And bank your vote.
Good stuff.
It is a good stuff thing.
Yeah.
As has been reinforced by Republican Party of Wisconsin Chairman Brian Schimming.
Mm-hmm.
He has been talking about bank your vote, get out, vote early, you know, make sure it gets done. This is important. We can't wait until the last minute to have these votes come in.
And he's been talking about this since he took power back in late 2022.
He has.
He wanted to change the narrative.
Unfortunately, there is someone pretty prominent within his own party who refuses to change that narrative.
Let me guess. Is it Rudy Giuliani?
No.
Is it Corey Lewandowski?
No.
Is it my dad?
Also not correct.
Who is it, Jane?
Calvin, play this clip from this prominent Republican talking about how early voting is bad.
You know, in the old days, it was election day. Now it's election day. Some of these things, 48 days, 48 days of cheating, and which we hate. We gotta bring the elections back to paper ballots, which, by the way, is very sophisticated. They make incredible sophisticated paper. You can't cheat. It's very simple. It would cost about 9% of what the machines cost or what elections cost, and it would be safe. But paper ballots, voter ID, you need voter ID, and same-day voting.
Donald Trump.
I was way off.
Donald Trump saying, no, early voting. Early voting is bad. It's cheating. That's where all the things go wrong. I am dying to know what sophisticated moves they have made to increase the integrity of paper.
They're using the best trees. This is super duper secure trees.
These are the most honest trees that have ever been cut down and turned into paper. What?
They have the biggest trunks.
What advancements have been made in paper to ensure that a ballot is secure? That is hilarious.
The question I have is in that rambling at best, I guess, you know. He says it's 9%, which is an amazingly specific number.
Well, that he picked out of the sky.
Right up there with 48 days of early voting.
Right.
If you take all the day, like the 5-day work week, and you also take out that Monday before elections, that's like, we're voting in like late October. No, we're voting in like late September at that point.
Right.
So, but back to the original idea is he said something about, we would save 9% by not using the machines. I don't know if he has been told or realized or ever voted in his life that the same machines that you Well, when I, this is how it works for me. When I early vote, I don't use a machine. I take my ballot, I fill it out. I get my ballot from myvote.wi.gov.
There you go.
Fill it out, seal it, do all the things it asks. Usually asks for a witness, and I mail it off. And then that, or if I do it in person, I take it to my city hall, I drop off an envelope. I don't put anything on a machine. And then once election night's happened, or it's the polls have closed, they open the envelopes, they feed them in the machine. We pretty much all do that now. I don't think there are any communities, except for maybe small communities where it's like a ceremonial thing where they're going to drop ballots into a box and they count the votes, like one for Donald Trump, one for Joe Biden. Right. Why do I talk like this? So what, he wants to get rid of the machines then? That's my point. Is like, does he want to get rid of the machines? Does he think the voting machines are the problem as well?
Because they're instantaneously switching votes. That was their whole claim about the 2020 election.
But only during early voting then, or the entire thing? Like, he's, I guess I need, I'm asking Donald Trump for some clarification.
Good luck with that.
Yeah. So that was the thing that stuck into me. He's like, the machines, all of a sudden, he's like, the machines, like, well, we don't vote with the machines in early voting. You drop your ballot off, they count it later.
No, I think he wants to get rid of all machines. And I want to say that they tried this at a municipality in Arizona, where they did all hand counts. And this was not a large metropolitan area. It took forever.
Yeah.
And you're took forever.
And you'll probably have to factor in, if you do one hand count official, the first one, you're probably going to have to look at least 2 to 3 to 4 more counts to verify. And you'll probably need a whole new staff. And I don't know in Wisconsin where we're going to get this, as they just passed 2 constitutional amendments limiting funding for voting. Womp, womp.
I'm just curious. Do you vote absentee? Have you voted early? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Andrew from Maine texting in. Do you know who's not able to vote in person at the polls? Deployed military service members. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But please don't worry about those people. And it's interesting that you say that, Andrew. We're going to be talking to a group about residents, U.S. residents who live and work overseas, but still want to vote because they are still American citizens.
I mean, traveling, like, sometimes congressmen and senators vote early or vote absentee because they're in Washington. There's only these situations in which people do it. It is a safe, secure, long-standing practice.
There are already some states that only have mail-in voting. Or predominantly mail-in voting. I'm pretty sure in Utah, mail-in voting has been going on for a long time.
I mean,
Utah, that bastion of liberalism.
Cheating.
It's cheating.
It's a state of cheaters.
Yeah.
It just, to me, once again, we didn't have, like, I'm sure there were some people, like little bits and pieces of people who were like, oh, I don't like him. I don't trust that stuff. I don't trust early voting. But it never became a national story until he opened his yapper. And then I was like, well, see, that's, they're cheating. They're cheating out there. Since when? With what? By whom? Prove something. You can't. You tried it 60 plus times. Every time the court's like, get out of here.
And they dragged it out for how long? 3.5 years. And they're still talking about these baseless claims that the 2020 election was stolen.
They're currently dragging it out right now. But it also brings back the question, you know, how does Brian Schimming of the Wisconsin GOP square his goal of banking the vote? That is their line, bank your vote.
Right.
He has congressmen of the state, assembly members, state senators saying on Twitter and social media, bank your vote. He's got them behind him, which is great messaging. But you got this other guy who's got significantly more name recognition screaming at anyone who will say it. It's cheating.
Yeah, it's tough to sell your message when the head of your party is giving an opposite message. We do have a clip of Robin Schimming talking to talking to WISN's Upfront. Let's play that, Calvin.
Ronna McDaniel, as you know, was pushing that early vote program, especially in key battleground states like Wisconsin. Is that going to continue?
It absolutely is going to continue. Wisconsin was one of the first states I've pioneered doing early vote programs amongst the state parties. Really, we were the first state in the country to roll out the Bank Your Vote effort. It is the key to winning.
to those efforts, how difficult is it for you for a state party chairman when you have Trump just a few weeks ago saying you're going to automatically have fraud with mail-in voting?
Look, we watched the fraud issue very closely in Wisconsin. That would be part of Chair Wadley's job as well, along with Laura Trump. You know, from my perspective, we recruited 5,500 poll workers, the most ever at a modern record anyway, here in Wisconsin. We'll have thousands of folks who will be watching the election processes. To me, it's part of a larger equation, early vote, protecting the vote, and make sure we get new voters to go to the polls.
Republican Party of Wisconsin Chair Brian Schimming talking to WISN's Upfront about the importance of early voting. He says they will continue to encourage Republicans to vote early, despite former President Donald Trump saying over and over and over again, mail-in voting automatically has fraud.
I'm not jealous of Brian Schimming right now.
No kidding.
It
must be immensely frustrating.
Very diplomatic response from Mr. Schimming. And I mean, the super Trumpers will not vote early.
No.
They may catch a couple Republicans and be like, yeah, maybe I'll do that. But the ones who I would like to know how many, I would like to know at the end of the day, how many they captured, new voters voting early GOP, to see how successful the strategy was.
855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Do you vote early? Do you vote absentee? Give us a call. Share your story. We have a couple texts. We'll come back with Stay Close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
And she starts to cry. She takes a swing, man. She can't hurt. She don't mean no harm. She just don't know what else to do about it. James says.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, the Calvinator on the board, ready to take your calls. 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching today on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. Dan Schaefer joining us after the 10:30 news to recombobulate, so stick around for that. We're talking right now and taking your calls about whether or not you vote early, if you had voted absentee. The Republican Party kind of in a tight spot.
A bind.
As far as they want people to vote early, because that is a big Democratic advantage. So Republican Party Chair Brian Schimming calling it bank the vote. They want everybody to bank their votes. Mm-hmm. And yet they have the leader of their party ostensibly saying it's all cheating. You can't vote early and you can't vote absentee. Don't do it. Let's listen.
You know, in the old days, it was election day. Now it's election day. They have some of these things 48 days, 48 days of cheating, and which we hate. We got to bring the elections back to paper ballots, which, by the way, is very sophisticated. They make incredible sophisticated paper. You can't cheat. It's very simple. It would cost about 9% of what the machines cost or what elections cost, and it would be safe. But paper ballots, voter ID, you need voter ID, and same-day voting.
Cheat proof paper.
This is like super, like, you ever see Marvel movies? This is the like they've developed this paper in their movies and they're going to help save the world because they're cheat proof and they're secure. I'm going to take it a step further. We're only going to have five ballots. Every American's going to have to share all five ballots and you have to come to Washington, D.C. to vote on voting day. Let's just make it that simple.
That'll be so fair.
Yeah, because like
that's so fair.
Voter ID, so fair and so not problematic at all. You know, same day voting. Why make it convenient?
Yeah. And that's the whole point. There are some who do not want it to be convenient. Taking your texts and your calls again, 855-752-4842. Someone texting in from Amory.
Amory.
I travel a lot for work, so I receive all my ballots absentee, as I never know if I can be in town on voting days. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a convenience. Andrew from Maine, Oregon, has been 100% mail-in voting since the 1990s. I knew there was a state that had been 100% mail-in voting. And I don't recall decades of stories coming out of Oregon that their elections were stolen.
Well, they're all a state of cheaters, so they don't tell on each other. That's why we don't know, Jane. Yeah.
Liz from Saukville, listening on WAUK. My husband voted absentee and voted early. We're going to vote early for the 24 presidential election. It's so easy, and our clerk is right there. Easy peasy. Yes. Easy peasy is right.
And Andrew did send another text asking how many absentee slash early ballots were cast in the Wisconsin primary. I don't have those numbers off the top of my head, but I'm trying to find them. I'm sure they have been counted by the Wisconsin Election Committee.
I was also curious about the advancement in producing cheat-proof paper. According to Google, some of the latest innovations in paper manufacturing include sustainable manufacturing, digital printing, biodegradable paper, nanotechnology, waterless printing, synthetic paper, 3D paper printing, and microfibrillated cellulose. Maybe that's what the cheat-proof paper is. The microfibrillated cellulose, Greg. I'm trying to...
I don't know how to make a joke out of microfibrillated cellulose.
I'm trying to help bolster Donald Trump's argument that that they've come up with cheat-proof paper.
It's the most sophisticated paper
anyone has ever seen.
Everyone's ever seen. The tree's got the biggest trunks. Yeah, I mean, it's... I hate having to keep talking about this, but we have to. We got to keep talking about it because this is, you know, he just casually says early vote's cheating. What are you doing? 48 days of early voting. I mean,
but that was his whole tenure, though, is just picking things out of the sky. And because especially on some of the outlets that he will go on and spew this stuff, they don't call him on anything. They don't fact check him on anything.
No, they don't, because he's, well, yeah, because he goes to the places that love him.
Right.
And they think he is the golden goose that lays. He is. Because he gets them the ratings and their money and their ad buys. And we've talked about this in the past. So the problem is the amount of people who either now believe or have seriously questioned the validity of the 2020 election has gone up. You would think in today's day and age, with all the available information and it being hammered by whether it's Democrats, whether it's the news, whether it's just, you know, whoever saying the 2020, Robin Voss saying the 2020 election
was fair
and safe and secure and had little to no problems. This is why we're still talking about it, because now the amount of people who are questioning and or now just believing the
who are buying into this narrative
is growing. And so we have to. And I hate talking about it because this is like there are other cool things to talk about, but we must talk about it. And we cannot stress enough. We're going to say this a lot more in the coming months. MyVote.WI.org. Check.
.gov.
I'm sorry. You're right. .gov. Check your polling place. Check your representatives. Talk to your representatives. Tell them, you know, make it easier to vote. And also find out if you're registered to vote. Get your absentee ballots. They're safe, secure. They're legal.
Yeah.
And you are not cheating. So it's one of the greatest rights we have in this country. And they shouldn't be hampered by anything, including ID voting. But that's another story. But yeah, that's...
It's just going to be interesting to see how they're going to square this circle with... on the one hand, the head of the Wisconsin Republican Party saying, no, early voting is great. Do it.
Yeah.
And then you hear from the head of their party saying, no, it's all cheating. Don't do it.
Yeah. I just imagine like Trumpers going like, but what do I do now?
Where do I go? I'm so confused. All right.
And take a breath.
And breathe.
Go for a walk. Okay.
Okay. Just a reminder to download the wonderful and free Civic Media app wherever you get your apps. That allows you to call and text directly from the app into whatever show you're listening to all across the network.
Really?
Yes.
How much is the app?
It's very free.
I don't know if that's true.
It's very free.
Oh my gosh, we're so cool.
News is on the way next, and then when we return, we will be recombobulating with Dan Schaefer from the recombobulation area. Next hour, the good, the bad, and we missed this festival about what? That's all on the way. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on air, coming to you across the vast Civic Media Radio Network.
Bite your lip and take the trip. Though there may be wet road ahead and you cannot slip, just move on. So hush now, child, and don't cry. Your folks might understand you by and by. Move on up and keep on wishing. Remember your dream is your only scheme, so keep on pushing. Take nothing less than the supreme best. Do not obey, you must be forsaken, but you can pass the test. Just move on.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on air. Jay Matt Nair, Greg Box, Sweet Cal B on the board. Ready to take your calls and your texts at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. He joins us every Friday at this time. One of the authors, the creator of the recombobulation area, Dan Schaefer, is here. Good morning. How you doing, Dan?
Good morning, Jane. Good morning, Greg. Good morning, Calvin. How's everybody doing? Glad to be here.
We are happy. It's Friday, ready for the weekend. Also, really looking forward to talking to you about this story that broke this week from Daniel Bice from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. So let's talk about Carlton Huffman.
Seems like quite the character. Yeah, they start out. Daniel Bice starts off his piece on this thing saying Carlton Huffman isn't the best source for a story.
And I respect him putting that in the first line because that's kind of a critical, it's an important detail.
But Carlton Huffman is this guy who was a former staffer for the Wisconsin Republican Party. He worked in and around Milwaukee, I believe, in the 2020 election. And on election day, so this is the report from Bice at the Journal Sentinel, published yesterday morning, about a political stunt that the Wisconsin Republican Party was trying to pull on election day. So the new head of the Republican Party of Wisconsin, Andrew Iverson, sent a text to Huffman on that day, encouraging Huffman to, quote, wreak havoc on the group Souls to the Polls. Souls to the Polls is a nonpartisan organization in Wisconsin that helps people get to their polling place on election day, advocates for voting rights in a lot of different ways. But one of the main things that they do is give people a ride to the polls if they, you know, need help getting there and need help voting in any way. This group is a pretty prominent one here in the city of Milwaukee. And I think it's, you know, it's just the while Republicans are saying that in response to this, that Huffman is this unreliable source, they also are not disputing the fact that Iverson encouraged Huffman to wreak havoc on this organization on election day and try to disrupt their practice of bringing people to the polls by flooding the call lines with people who are, you know, saying, you know, only having forcing the groups to help Trump supporters or just overall trying to overwhelm them, try to disrupt their activities on the critical election day. And there was also, that story was published yesterday morning. There was a press conference held by Souls to the Polls and a bunch of aligned groups, the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, Black Leaders Organizing for Communities, and a number of other, you know, kind of voting rights and pro-democracy organizations. And they held a press conference. I went yesterday, held on the northwest side of Milwaukee. And, you know, they denounced the practices and called on Iverson to resign or be removed as the head of the new head of the Republican Party of Wisconsin. And I think this is an important story, you know, regardless of the fact that it comes from a poor source. You know, this is an important story. And I think it fits a larger pattern that there's been from Republicans toward Milwaukee of disrupting of these voter suppression efforts and targeting Black voters in the city in a myriad of ways. And it's not just an isolated incident with what happened here with Souls to the Polls. It's Bob Spindell bragging about voter suppression efforts. He's the Republican appointee to the Wisconsin Elections Commission. And I was really struck yesterday at the press conference by a number of the speakers saying just how tired they are of all of this. You know, we've had 4 years since the 2020 presidential election of attacks on voting rights and attacks on the legitimacy of votes. So much of that has focused on Milwaukee, on the city of Milwaukee, on Black voters in Milwaukee. And it's just so clear how tired and exhausted and worn out by these things that these people at the press conference were. And it's just such a ridiculous thing that this has to be, you know, that this has to be argued and debated about the legitimacy of votes and voter suppression efforts. You know, voting should be something that is nonpartisan, that we promote across the board. It shouldn't be something that takes on a Democratic or Republican tone. But in this day and age, it is, you know, it very much is. If you're, you know, Republican in this day and age, it so much of it is tied to this election integrity stuff and the Trump MAGA world and targeting these votes. And it's just so incredibly frustrating. And it's hard to see where there's going to be change. But I so appreciate the work that these organizations are doing and showing up, and regardless of how exhausted they are, showing up time and time again, over and over, to push back on these. I wish we would see the similar kind of resilience from other voices in and around Milwaukee and around the state, standing up for democracy at this critical time as well.
Well, unfortunately, Dan, I think we've talked about this before, that's part of the goal, is to just exhaust people, is to wear them out and either assume that nothing that you can do is going to make a difference, so why do anything, right? It's flood the zone with crap and just wear people out and exhaust them and keep fighting them. And I'm assuming this was not, what was done was not a crime. Technically,
I mean, technically, no, but I think that was one of the things that people at the press conference were talking about, too, was the, you know, the terminology that that Iverson, the now head of the Republican Party of Wisconsin, was using, was calling it Operation Rat F word.
Yeah. Yep.
And that was something that was noted in the press conference. It's just like, it just seems like not only is this a pattern of targeted voter suppression efforts toward the Black community in Milwaukee, it's something that a number of the people I talked to there yesterday want to be investigated. If it's part of a larger effort, you know, to disrupt voting and block people's right to vote, I think that is something that, you know, that should be, that warrants a greater investigation. If this is part of a larger operation, if this is part of a larger effort, if this is a part of an ongoing pattern from the Republican Party towards Black voters in the city of Milwaukee in particular.
If you're just joining us, Dan Schaefer is our guest. He joins us every Friday from 10:30 to 11 so we can do some recombobulating, and we're talking about what seemed like continued efforts by the Republican Party in Wisconsin to discourage people from voting, or at least pull some things behind the scenes that will wreak havoc.
You know, Dan, you're talking about earlier about like this shouldn't be a Republican and Democrat thing. Earlier in the show, we were discussing the fact that you have Brian Shimmy, which, by the way, I need someone to explain to me the difference between the head of the Wisconsin Republican Party and the Wisconsin GOP, because you got Brian Shimmy and then this other gentleman. Do they work for the same organization? Do they work for separate organizations? Do they just have different jobs? Did Brian Shimmy leave and we didn't know it? But, you know, you have Brian Shimmy saying to Republicans in Wisconsin, bank your vote, vote early. We want you to bank your vote. We're making a concerted effort to do that. And then Donald Trump is saying early voting's cheating. The machines are cheats. We got secure and wonderful paper that cannot be beaten. And it just seems like, you know, if me personally, I believe that you, Calvin, Jane, our callers who disagree with us have the fundamental right to have access to voting early, absentee, on the day. I also believe in no ID, but that's another story. Just that belief in the right to vote, and the unfettered access to it, I'm seen as an un-American dirty liberal. I mean, that's how, like, just my base belief, like, yes, you should be able to vote in any way that they make accessible. Well, you're a cheater and you're un-American.
How do we get here?
Yeah.
How do we get here? Well, but I can think back to our colleague Todd Alba, and you can catch Todd from noon to 2 p.m. Every weekday across the Civic Media Radio Network. He was a Republican until 2011. And one of the main reason why he left the party in 2011 was because of the behind-the-scenes chatter about disenfranchising voters.
Yeah.
And he actually testified in federal court about this. So this goes back a long way.
Yeah.
These efforts to lead people to believe that this is a massive, massive issue, and then they can institute all of these extra controls, mm-hmm. allegedly to keep things safer.
Yeah, I think that's such a great point, Jane, because I think so much of this is talked about in under the umbrella of this is a Trump thing, right? It's not just Trump. It's not just Trump. This is an effort that goes back, that long predates Trump, especially here in Wisconsin. We saw so many rollbacks of voting rights in the Walker era in the years before Trump, you know, came down the escalator, and all of the different things happened since then. You know, this is not just a Trump thing. And I want to point out one other thing from that story and the response to it at the press conference yesterday. So in the Bice story, the response from Andrew Iverson, the head of the Wisconsin GOP here, saying this was texted this as a joke. Mm. Texted that you know, go wreak havoc. How can we disrupt souls to the polls on election day? Just texting that as a joke. And I saw, and you know, they're at the press conference, somebody asked about that. And Angela Lang from Block, who is an occasional recombobulation area contributor,
love her,
amazing person. And she, you know, stepped up to the mic and said, what's funny about this?
Yeah.
What's the joke? Because it's not funny to take away somebody's right to vote on election day, you know, or to try to disrupt that. Like, what is even what's going through your head? There's so many different things you could be doing, you know, on election day as a political operative. And the choice that you make is to encourage somebody to wreak havoc and then say that try to explain it away by saying it's a joke. Like, what this isn't funny.
That takes
far beyond.
Go on.
I don't know.
I mean, I get it. But that takes a page right out of the former president's book, too, because we've been playing these walk down memory lane. And he got on the podium in 2020 and was saying, shoot light in the body, bleach, disinfectant. And then the next day they're like, what was this? And he's like, I was being sarcastic for you. There's nothing funny or sarcastic or any, like, to me, sarcasm means funny or like, you know, trying to get you. There's nothing that you gain by doing that regarding people's health in such a disingenuous, dishonest, and uninformed way when you were the president of the United States. So in my opinion, Allen, I don't want to call him Allen Iverson.
Wrong Iverson.
Yeah, exactly. It's right out of the Trump playbook is to, you say something and if someone calls you on it, like, what am I? No, I didn't do it.
Absolutely.
You guys can't take a joke.
It was either a joke or you double down on it.
Yeah.
But you never, never, never admit you're wrong.
Yeah.
And this whole thing about trying to disenfranchise people, that goes back a long way when political people were seeing how the demographics were going to be changing. And just numerically, things were not working in their favor. And I think that's when they really started to look at, gosh, if people come out and actually cast their ballots, our policies aren't very popular. We need to do something else.
I told you in 2008 in the Obama election, they were putting door hangers in predominantly black neighborhoods that had the wrong election day on them.
See, and that should be a crime.
Mm-hmm.
Shouldn't it? Or is it just then, I made a mistake. Ralph made a mistake.
Oopsie doodles.
He was the one
the
who
intern.
Was printing him up. Yeah.
It's not great, Jane.
It's not great. It's not great. And I don't want to imply that only Republicans do these dirty political tricks, because I'm sure it's happened on the other side as well. It's just not good for our democracy. It's just not. It's
They're
not
taking
good for
the baton.
Any of us.
They're taking the baton down the track. So
we're going to keep recombobulating with Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area. Stay close. This is Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome to Cleveland. Hoping for a relaxing weekend. Once I get strapped in the 210, wheels up and we'll be rocking. Getting out of frozen Wisconsin. I need you to recombobulate me. I want you to recombobulate me.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin, coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Join the show. Join the conversation. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Elon continues to ruin. He is here every Friday at this time to help us recombobulate. Dan Schaefer from the award-winning Recombobulation Area. Good to have you back, Dan. And we're going to celebrate some good Wisconsin economic news.
That's right. I think we should celebrate when there's good news.
I agree.
For the economy and for jobs in Wisconsin. Because, you know, it was announced earlier this week, Governor Evers and the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation announced a $195 million expansion of Nestle Purina's Jefferson facility. The project aims to create 100 new high-paying jobs. That follows more economic news also in Jefferson, earlier this week, Kekkonen soy sauce announced I think it was $500 some million.
It said
expansion.
$800 million.
Maybe it's like the comprehensive project was at that level or something like that, but a huge expansion, of their operation, the largest soy sauce producer, in the world. did you guys know that, that they produce their largest plant producing soy sauce is in Wisconsin?
I was telling Jane before the show, I knew Kekkonen was in Wisconsin. I didn't know they were the largest. And when it says in the article, they started in like 1973, I said, if you'd have asked me, I would like, did they start in like 1642?
Right.
Like, I feel like soy sauce has been around that long. Like, but yeah, Kekkonen, it's everywhere.
I had no idea that Wisconsin was the base for this. And I guess I'm also impressed with this big expansion. We must be consuming a whole lot of soy sauce. I mean, wowza. Are we all using soy in our marinades, or what's going on with
the
soy
sauce? If you
over-soy,
you're going to get salt fist.
Is that?
Salt fist. When you get too much salt in your system,
and your fingers swell?
Swell up, you get salt fist.
That's a term I learned today from Greg Brock. on Matt and Air on Air.
See what you learn when you join our show.
Dear WBA, I'll be submitting this moment for my excellence award.
No, but that's terrific news. It really is. And if the situation were reversed and say Scott Walker were still governor, it would be the soy wonder of the world that is coming to Jefferson, right? Like Foxconn was the eighth wonder of the world, and it was all spectacular and marvelous. And Donny Evers just doesn't get a lot of shout outs for stuff like this.
Well, you're exactly right. So I was in my previous life, I worked as a business news reporter. I was at Biz Times for a couple of years. I was at the Milwaukee Business Journal for another couple of years. And a lot of that was during the Walker era. And anytime there would be a big announcement like this, it would flood the airwaves.
Oh, yeah.
It would be all we'd be hearing about. All the business groups in Wisconsin would be doing backflips and talking about how great the Wisconsin economy is. But we've barely heard about this week in Wisconsin. We're not hearing any of those positive responses from, you know, Wisconsin manufacturers and commerce celebrating a new manufacturing development. Why might that be? Well, I think it's because they are partisan actors who support Republicans, and they are hugely responsible for shaping the perceptions and narratives about the economy. And when these types of announcements happen under a Democratic governor, you don't hear a peep from any of them,
you know.
But the data and the numbers don't lie, and we're seeing numbers and economic data and major jobs announcements reported lately and under a Democratic governor. I think that's a pretty big deal in an election year to be talking about these types of successes. There was also another story in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel earlier this week talking about reshoring and this trend of manufacturing overseas coming back to Wisconsin in a big way.
Yeah.
And I think we're seeing some really strong economic indicators, but those business groups are seemingly very quiet.
But Dan, Jane, I'm looking at Twitter right now, and it just says Tony Evers sucks. Is that wrong? is social media and the internet wrong? Because it just says Tony Evers sucks, but you're saying good things. What do I believe? I mean, this is not just Wisconsin. This is America. We've talked about this
national story too,
endlessly. Yeah. That we have the economy is doing really, really well, but because the economy isn't affecting you directly, you're like, the economy sucks. Or when you listen to, and this is across all media platforms, it doesn't matter. Like your CNNs, your Fox, they're always like, the economy is in terrible shape. No, it's not. But the problem is we have a governor and we have a president who are less impressed by the flowers of it all than getting the work done. But the flowers do matter.
Well, I think we're going to make a reach to the WMC and just see if they'd like to come on the show and celebrate some of these good economic numbers. And let's just highlight the good things that are happening in Wisconsin. We can absolutely make that reach. I'd be happy.
Well, we know they would be very loud in saying how great this economic news was if there was a Republican governor.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that. Like it's not, if we're just as the media calling balls and strikes, we should not be. I think the media should not be in the business of quoting lobbyists as experts on the economy, because they only support Republicans and they only support a good economic news. Only will back, celebrate good economic news when it's happening under a Republican governor, under a Republican president. It's a frustrating double standard that I think we see. And I think those of us in the media need to be aware of that.
In the couple of minutes we have left, Dan, tonight's Bucks at the Pacers, 4:00. If you want to catch the game, you can listen on 98Q Country in Park Falls. And news from the center, WRCE in Richland Center. How are you feeling about the Bucks' chances?
Well, I just saw while I've been on the show here, the Bucks announced that Giannis Antetokounmpo is listed out for today's game. So I think that's what we all expected. But, getting that news here is the update. There's also, Chris Middleton was also listed as questionable yesterday. Mm-hmm. Not totally sure of his status for the game. But I also think, overall, I think this is going to be a long series, because I just don't think, as currently constructed, either team is good enough to deliver, the kind of knockout blow you might see in a first round series or anything like that. I think the Pacers they're a young team. They're an inconsistent team. This is kind of their first time in the playoffs. So I'm still optimistic about the Bucks winning the series, but maybe less so with if they are missing both Giannis and Chris Middleton.
Well, we will see what happens. We'll talk to you next Friday at 10:30. Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area. Thank you so very much, Dan. Have a good weekend. Go Bucks.
Go Bucks.
Thanks for having me. Bucks and six.
Stay close. News is next, and then we return the good, the bad, and there's a festival about what? You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.